Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Wow. You know, we talk about Lord telling us that everything in Him is yes and amen. Well, He is the divine yes. He is the yes. And He says, you and I are the amen. So when we say yes, Lord, to you, we're saying yes to everything that your word says, everything that your word talks about, who you are, what your character is like, every possible aspect of you. We're saying, so be it in my life. So be it in my church. So be it in my region. So be it in my nation. So be it around the world. So today, Lord, we give testimony to your greatness. And we say, Lord, to you, that the word testimony means do it again, Lord. Do it again inside of us. Do it again through this place. So be it. Let's just give a great big amen to the Lord. Amen to you, oh God. Amen. 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 Andrew and I spent hours together on Friday. Had a really awesome time. And I just felt he was an impression when he was up playing up there, and I said, Andrew, come here, just share whatever God puts on your heart. Don't know what that is, but just share that, because you've got a testimony. You've got something to say. You've got something that's going to blast out the nations beyond what we think. Blast to the nations. So listen carefully and own it for yourself and say, that's me. That's for me. That's for me.
So I had an experience with the Lord the other day. It was really, like, it was awesome. It was actually, like, I believe it's life-changing. But, yeah, it just started out, and I was really focusing on the Lord. Just really, it was really simple. Like, I just closed my eyes. I was like, God, you know, I just really want to feel you. And I just saw a picture of him. You know, MP was kind of like, she was like, okay, what's he doing right now? And I was like, I see his hands. He was holding my face. And that's all I saw at first was, you know, Jesus' hands. He was just holding my face. And MP just said, look at his face. And I looked at his face, and I just saw fire coming from his eyes. I just saw fire coming from his eyes. And he was just telling me how much I'm worth it. He said, you're worth it. You're worth it. I'm so proud of you. You're so worth it. Lord, Father God, I just thank you, Father God, that we're worth it, Lord. You see us as worth it, Father God. You're not mad at us. You're not ashamed of us at all, Father God. You're so proud of us. Everyone here is so worth it, Lord. And then the vision just went on, and it was actually like completely different. I was actually riding on an eagle. Like, I was an eagle, but, like, I was, like, holding on to an eagle, and he was, like, flying around. And we landed on, like, next thing I know, I was, like, on this land, there was, like, a volcano going off. And I remember just feeling, like, in the vision, like, I just felt like I needed to speak against it, like, just tell it to stop. And I did, and I just said, you know, stop. And I felt it come out of me. I said, stop. And everything just began to dry up, like all the lava and everything that started. And all the chaos that was around just, like, went quiet. And everything just dried up around me. And, you know, you have the authority in Christ to do that. It's not like it's anyone special or anything like that. You have the authority to do that. You have the authority to speak into the environment, to the atmosphere, and change what's going on around you. You have that authority. You carry that inside of you. Don't let anything that comes against that, anything that's contradictory to that, that you think that you can't do that, isn't the truth. The truth is you can do that. You carry Jesus inside of you. And that atmosphere can change any atmosphere in the world. So, Lord, Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that we have that inside of us, Father God. We have you inside of us, Father God. We can change atmospheres, Lord. We can change atmospheres wherever we're at, Lord. Wherever we're at, Father God, whether it's work or school or anywhere, Father God, we can just speak into the atmosphere and change it, Father God. We have that, Lord. Just thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Andrew. When we walk in that authority, as the authority of the risen Savior is released through us, things really change. Volcanoes dry up. Amen. And that was a powerful word that he had, and powerful encounter that took place. The Lord says that we can ascend with him into the holy place, and that we have access. That veil's already been torn. We live under an open heaven. We don't keep calling down what God's already done. And the Lord says, stand up and take your place, front and center, and believe your conversion. Believe your salvation today. We have another testimony. Mike and Joe have something they want to share as well, where the Lord has been stirring them up to a place where they've just been experiencing a lot of different things in their life. And when we give glory and honor to what the Lord's been doing, what he's done through us and in us, how many of us know that releases blessing? That releases us into a place of that so be it, that amen. So receive this for yourself as well as we give glory to the Lord. Amen.
So, the Lord can change your circumstances in an exciting and unexpected ways. Throughout life, we all have a lot of opportunities and a lot of options for our decisions and how we posture ourselves before the Lord in times of good and in times of bad. And what seemingly can be bad and is, the Lord can use for good. And we've experienced that over and over and over again throughout our marriage, in the sense that we are blessed to have David and Daniel, but we're also blessed to know that we have children in heaven as well. And we've had 3 miscarriages since our marriage, and we've been, you know, crying out, Lord, why? Because these are your kingdom children. These are your people. Why, Lord? And last year, in 2011, early 2011, in the winter, we had a miscarriage then. And we were surprised because, you know, you have a David and a Daniel that are so beautiful. How is this even possible? And so we just began to trust in the Lord and change our posture and change our circumstance and say, Lord, we don't know why that happened. But whatever it is, we want revelation of you. We want to know you. We want to see your face. And so at Christmas time, actually in January, we found out that we were pregnant again this year. And a week before the bar exam, we had another miscarriage. And again, why, Lord, why? And in that moment, the Lord really spoke to my wife, and we hadn't really even had a chance to tell everyone that we were pregnant because it was just compounding in terms of things going on. And what matters, though, is that our response shifted. Tell them what the Lord said.
So right before that one that happened last year, not in 11, the day before it happened, it started. The Lord said, I'm going to take you back to the wilderness where we first began, where we first fell in love. And I was like, oh, that's great. You know, I'm super excited. I'll have this baby and back to the wilderness. This is exciting. And then it happened. It started the next day. And I was like, oh, you know, and then the Lord's been giving me more and more insight of what does it mean to go back to the wilderness, to be intimate with the Lord first and foremost above everything else, to be, you know, hearing his voice above everything else, and in the storm and in the happiness and in the, you know, the good times and in the bad. And what does that mean? And then so I was like, okay, so this past January, when right before I actually found out I was pregnant, I was like, oh man, I just don't understand why, Lord, do you give me this desire? I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, you can have a quiver. And I was like, Lord, I want a large quiver, a quiver full of children. And the Lord goes, well, do you trust me? And I was like, and immediately, you know, I had this peace fall over me. And I was like, okay, I trust you. And, you know, the next day, I found out I was pregnant, I was like, oh, that's great. You know, you're speaking to me. That's great. You knew all this stuff. And then it actually turns out, out of the blue, we had no, you know, understanding and no anything. You know, it ends up being a miscarriage. And there were even words spoken over us. And as we were in the hospital and, like, you know, all these good things. But it goes back to what the Lord speaks to you. You know, the Lord spoke to me. You know, I want to take you back to this place of intimacy. I want you to trust me above everything else. You know, and it's so easy to trust the Lord in the good times. And you're like, yeah, I love Jesus. You know, you're high and you're lifted up. But then in the bad times, you're like, it's a test of our faith. It's a test of our testimony and of who we are and who the Lord has brought us and the journey that we've come. And so it was, but there was definitely a parallel, and we can see, between the 1 in 11 and the 1 in that happened in 12, because the 1 in 12 was, yes, it's sad, and we hate death, and we hate, you know, when the enemy comes and pillages and destroys anything in our house, and we stand against that, and we were standing for life in the midst of it, and it just didn't work out in the natural. But the thing is that the parallel was, it wasn't, oh, I'm devastated, and I'm broken, and I'm downtrodden. It was, man, this situation really stinks. But Lord, you're good. And I can even cry out in the depths of this that even when there was lots of things that happened and we ended up having to go to the hospital and oh my. So, but even in the depths of that circumstance saying, Lord, you're good, you are good, you are good. I don't understand any of this, but you're good. And I'm clinging to the Father over my circumstances. I'm clinging to the Father even over his promises. I'm clinging to who he is. To who he is, the fact that he's revealed himself to me, that he's taken me through this journey and he's been good and faithful to reveal himself, like he revealed himself strong to the Israelites in the wilderness. And that's what it meant to me when he said, I want to take you back to the wilderness. I want to give you this time of intimacy. I want to show myself strong to you. And he did, and he proved faithful, and he proved true. And it's so easy, I think, to get wrapped up and hold God like, why, you know, clinging to our questions versus to who the Father is. And even sometimes clinging to God's promises versus just him, just his majesty and his beauty and his glory, and saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'm saying yes to you.
And in that process, you know, I was just used to saying, Lord, your promise is life, your promise is life. And it is. His promise is life. Always life and life more abundantly. But as we were sitting there in that hospital, and this is why we wanted to share this, because it's a testimony that deserves testifying. This is a testimony of what's been taken away, but the Lord can bring life out of it. And as we were sitting in the hospital, my wife said to me, honey, I'm walking still in complete peace, because right now all I see is the face of Jesus. She goes, and in Jesus, and as I see his face, I know that nothing else matters, and that when I'm with him, nothing else going on around me even can shake me. And that shook me. It changed my mindset and my outlook. It changed the way that I looked at everything, because I wasn't reacting. She wasn't reacting. We were trusting in the face of Jesus. And it's weird to say that you can walk in peace in a circumstance like that, where there's certain death around you. And hospitals are never any fun. But that also rose up a righteous indignation that no more in this body, no more, no more in our family, no more. It rose up even more disdain for the enemy, because he has taken way too much. And I just felt, after I left, I felt this need to bat a beehive, you know? Like, I wanted to just take it and say, Lord, I'm going to take this bat and I'm going to swing it at the beehive of the devil, and I don't care if it looks like he might sting me, because I know that in you I'm covered and protected. And it made everything that might seem scary not scary. It made everything that might seem impossible completely possible. And so as we went through this process, it was a change and a shift even in our home. A change in the way that we interacted with each other, and a change in the way that we interacted with the Lord. And soon thereafter, Joe got very, very sick. And it was kind of unexplainable, but it went on for quite some time with extreme weakness. And one Tuesday night, you may have seen her here, she was in the back completely covered in a cloth and just shaking and trembling. I mean, very, very sick. And my mom and Ann had a chance to come and speak out over her. And the Lord had a moment that day where the Lord was going to do a shift in my wife and in our family. And the Lord, actually, the word cancer came out. And they broke off the spirit of cancer, which has been afflicting not only Joe's family, but our family on just generally for too many years. And as that happened, there was another shift in the spirit. And it was more looking straight at the face of Jesus and saying, Lord, no, no cancer in Jesus' name. No cancer in Jesus' name. And it's funny because the next week, our little David had been complaining of these pains, which the ER doc first thing said, well, I've got to do some certain blood tests. There's no cancer. Thank you, Jesus. There's no cancer. But
it just proves that the Father's faithful, and he's faithful. And when we say, why, you know, he's still faithful. He's still faithful. And so it was amazing, and it was really great. And it set, so that just happened last month. So, you know, this month rolls around, and I just heard the Lord say, do you trust me? And I was like, I know how this happened last time. No, but I really didn't have that apprehension. I was like, okay, you know, I can take these words, you know. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for delivering me of fear, because I don't have any fear right now. So thank you for speaking to me, Lord. And I said, well, yes, Lord, I'm excited for what you want to unveil to us. And so then on Monday, on our anniversary, we actually found out, 7 years, we actually found out we're pregnant. And so... It's just it's a testimony to what, you know, we couldn't see things, and we hadn't been able to get pregnant after this, both miscarriages, until we got pregnant, and then even this one. But then the Lord was faithful, saying, hey, I see the bigger picture. Let me deliver you of this potential health problem and affliction, and then, you know, you can carry life, and then, you know, it can continue, and then you can have a house of peace. And a house that, you know, joy reigns and love wins every time, or whatever that saying is. I always mess it up. So it's just an amazing testimony, and you can take this testimony and apply it to your life where you felt like downtrodden and destitute and depressed and anxiety, and saying, I don't have this, and I want this, and I know your promise is yes and amen, and I'm saying yes and amen to these things, but I'm not seeing the results, but clinging to the Father above everything else.
And so we just ask that you guys would, as our family, stand with us, because we're not reacting. We're not looking at the past. We're not looking at our history. We're looking at what the Lord's promise is. And the Lord has cleared out our house. He's cleared out the areas of sickness. He's cleared out where the enemy may have had a stronghold that we didn't even know about. The Lord has cleared that out. And we are speaking life for us, and life for you, life for this body. And we are frontline forerunners, and we will lead that charge. So we ask you as our family to stand with us and to pray with us and believe for not only this life, but all of the future lives yet to be here, because the Lord has a mighty calling on this place, and we will have a quiver that is very full.
Amen. And when we stand for his promises, we're standing for him. So whether you see the fulfillment of something that you're asking for right at the moment, don't let that shake you, because we do stand for promises, and the Lord is his promises. So as they said, we stand, Lord God, and we proclaim, let's just put our hands in the air, for all that we've been waiting for, trusting God for, that's in his will, that's in his name, that is his kingdom. We say, yes, so be it, Lord. We say, yes, Lord God, that you are the deliverer of your promises, Lord. We're not shrinking back. We say, yes, Lord, we receive life. We receive life in your promises for all areas that we're standing for, because that gives you pleasure. And you are the yes, you are the promises. And so we say, amen, so be it. Amen. Thank you for that word. That was awesome. Good testimony. Amy has a few short things to to share with you, because you know our Jesus lived in a way that he said, if I've modeled my life for you, if you will just line your life up with my life, all will be well. And the Bible actually promises us in 2 Peter in chapter 1, it promises us that we will never, our foot doesn't have to stumble. It's like, what? The Lord says that when we consider ourselves dead because of who he is, we consider ourselves dead to sin, we consider ourselves to be alive to Christ. So let's just say I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to Christ. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive to Christ. Now that looks like something. The Lord wants that to be evident in our lives so that we can go to the nations. We can see these nations coming to the Lord in a day. But the Lord says transformed people, changed people will be the one that changes areas. The church, the region, the state, the nations. People who are delivered, set free, walking in their freedom. Guess what? They're the ones who deliver. So delivered people deliver others. Amen? So the Lord gives us keys and he gives us the know-how to walk so that our foot doesn't stumble. So Amy's going to briefly share a little bit about that.
Yes. Just as we were talking about really speaking life, we have the opportunity to really pray and seek the Lord and speak life into things in our community, speak life into what's going around us, and really just call things out. So we have coming this Friday, June 8th, we have the Watch of the Lord all-nighter. And that's from 9 p.m. to 5 a.m., so we'll be here all night. And we have the opportunity to really seek the Lord, seek his face, and see things change. And I know it's really touched my heart as I just gave up sleep and really just sought the Lord. And during that time also, Wednesday to Friday, we have a time to just really fast. It's a corporate fast. I'm going to speak a little bit about that because if I'm handing out right now just some flyers that have to do with corporate prayer and also with fasting. So really, it's just, if you want to go ahead and read those, because they're really powerful words just on the power of fasting and the power of praying together. It does say in the Bible that where two or three are gathered in his name, that there he is. So there's power in really just warring in the spirit and coming together and really seeking his face and seeing his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven and things change. So really, we also have the opportunity to fast, and I'm just going to share some awesome things from some of these flyers, just because it's really powerful that when we seek his face and when we fast, just the way that God hears our voice and he really moves on our behalf. So I'm just going to share some things here. One of those things in this flyer says, prayer is where everything begins and ends in the realm of the spirit. Nothing God is going to do will happen without prayer. So that's just sharing that really just when we come together and pray that God moves on our behalf, that things change. And even if even if we don't see things and our circumstances change, if we don't see things around us, even here in Ohio changing, that when we really seek his face, that he is moving. And a couple other things here I wanted to share. I'm going to start with the fasting flyer, because this is just really powerful. It says, we need to be careful. One of the things it says on page 108 says, we need to be careful, however, that as we approach God during fasting, we do not approach him with a self-righteous attitude, but that we come to him with an understanding that we are sinners in need of his grace. Daniel gave us a good example of this. Even though he was probably the most righteous person among the Jewish people of his time, he acknowledged that he was a sinner and really didn't deserve God's deliverance. However, with boldness, he asked the Lord to turn away his anger and fury from the city. The result was that after he fasted for 21 days, consistently seeking God's face, an archangel appeared to him, granting him insight into the situation about which he had prayed. So really just sharing that Daniel was a one that really had a heart after the Lord and really just didn't see himself as being self-righteous, but he humbled himself. And really that's what fasting is about. It's about really seeking God's face. really coming to a place of really seeking his face and humbling yourself and saying, Lord, you are the most important thing in my life, and I desire to give up food. I desire to give that up. I desire to see that you are more important to me than food, and I really desire in that to really see things change around me as I seek your face. And then just a couple other things I wanted to read out. It says, during our fast, we should ask the Holy Spirit to reveal any areas blocking his flow. We will find that there may be spiritual toxins such as spiritual fear, hurts, and wounds from the past that may have lodged in our heart. As we ask God to reveal those things, he will put his light on them so that they can be dealt with. Toxins will come up, and initially they may surprise us, but they can be broken in the name of Jesus. So really, just as we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I want to see your face, it says to ask the Lord. It does say that ask and you shall receive. So as we fast, we can ask the Lord, Lord, what's going on in my heart? Search my heart and see what's going on in my heart. And he's faithful to do that. And then just a couple more things I want to share. It's actually on the back, if you look on the very back of the fasting flyer here. And then it says fasting, it's the third paragraph down. Fasting will help us overcome attitudes that may be wrong before God. God will cut those things as we fast and seek the Lord. We should also reflect on God's attributes. So it just kind of goes into that. And then the very last paragraph, it says, it is important that while we fast, God is the first priority, which means that we need to be willing to lay aside things that would hinder us from seeking the Lord. Most of us may believe that fasting is about food, but that is not the truth. Fasting is actually about God, where we put God first, seek his face, and honor him. We are putting aside our personal lives for a time and spending that time with God. By doing so, we say, God, you are important. We hunger and thirst for you. By putting him first and not food, we express our love for him. And as we do, the Holy Spirit will come in like a mighty river and let us experience the fullness of the Spirit. So really with that, fasting is about really just saying, Lord, I love you, and I love you more than food, and I desire to see things changed around here as I seek your face and put you first in that. So just with that, remember, watch the Lord. It's going to be a powerful night, June 8th, 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. So if you're come out, I encourage you to come out, really seek the face of the Lord, and also fasting's from Wednesday to Friday, that we're just going to have a corporate fast together.
That when we call corporate fasting, there's a reason for that. There's so much power when we corporately come together, when we worship together, when we fast together. And that does not cancel out, negate, say, don't fast any other time. But there's a strength, there's a unifying force and presence that is released. So we just really invite all of you to take that seriously. Read this and say, Lord, let my yes be yes. There's a yes and an amen, a so be it. I would like to step into a fasted lifestyle. Maybe it's new. Maybe it needs to be restirred again. Either way, God is calling us for that, as he's our perfect theology and he is our model. Amen? And Rachel, did you want to wait till after, or do you have a short word about Rajamundry? No? Okay. Rachel wants to share something about our children's home in India. And also I want to welcome Michael Vandervoort, he's back. Yay, Michael and his friend from Mexico. Good to have you here, Mike. Bless you.
This is just a quick shout out to all of you who are the sponsors for our children in Rajamundry in southern India. These are different than the Redemption Kids. This is the Frontline Ministries International Children's Home that we have in southern India. And a lot of us in here are sponsoring a child or children. And I had sent out an email to all of you. It's time to send another round of letters. We sent in Christmas time, we each sent them an individual letter with our picture and introducing ourselves, and they had written back once, and now it's time for us to send another batch of letters telling them about our love and that we're interested in their lives. And they were so excited at Christmas. It was the first letter that most of them had ever received or ever had an opportunity to write back, so it was a really big deal for them. And we want to send another round of letters, and also it's time for them to start another year of school. And as their sponsors, we have an opportunity to send them to school with a school uniform, a backpack, and school supplies. And all of that equals out to about $40 for each child to be able to send them to school. And so we're just asking that if as sponsors, if you can have that $40 in that letter for us by June 15th. So the 15th of this month, we're just asking for another round of letters. And I think I had some pictures of the children, if we can put them up real quick, or they're coming. Just we have girls and boys. There's precious kids that we're sponsoring and praying for, and gonna see them raised up to be world changers. So if that's something you'd like to join in on that you haven't yet, there's a few kids that could use some sponsors, so you can come and see me. And that's a $35 commitment per month to pay for their living expenses. And Dylan wants to explain a little bit about how to do that easier.
How many of you would like an easy way to remember to give every month for your sponsored child? Anybody? All right. Okay, well, one or two. Anyways, you are able to give automatically every month through credit card or through checking account, that it works automatically, just comes out of your account. And so if you're interested in that, see me after the service, and we'll make sure we get you one of the flyers that you can sign up, and you decide what day of the month you want it to come out, and then it just happens every month, and then if you ever change that, just let me know, okay? You can give by check. You can also give online at our website through PayPal. There's actually like a little shopping cart, and you can give for your sponsored child. If you want to help us save the fees and you have a PayPal account, you can actually just send it to our PayPal account, which is invest@frontline-ministries.org. So if you give from your PayPal to our PayPal, it reduces the fees that we have to pay for that. So, yes. That's for anything. Yeah, any giving, tithe, you can give online as well. I think all the buttons are there, but we'll check, make sure all the right buttons are there. And that way it sends us an email, says so-and-so is giving this for that, and then it goes into our PayPal account. It's a real easy way to give. Also, there's a new offering box in the back right behind Tony. And so there are visitor cards there. You could fill those out. There's also envelopes there, and you just drop your offering in there.
How many of us have a fire in our belly for that which is injustice around the world? If we're filled with the Spirit of God and we're claiming we're overcomers and we're kingdom people, that fire inside will race. You can't stop it. If it's not there, I would tell you that you're not filled with the fire of God and the Spirit of God. That would be a key sign, because when justice starts burning on the inside, saying no more, as Mike said, no more, we're not having more miscarriage, no more. Well, when it comes to human trafficking, the Lord says, this is on my heart. And he has given us a front and center place in the world to stand and fight against that. So in the next couple of weeks, you're going to be hearing more about that. And so I would ask you to start praying into that. What does that mean for me? What does that mean, Lord? He is the Lord of the yes and amen, and there's more than enough always. So when we're giving, first of all, first and foremost, everybody listen to this. First and foremost, let's prepare our tithe, because that releases the blessing of heaven. If you're struggling financially, you're struggling in some other areas, take a look at that first. It's not a law, but it's a kingdom principle, which becomes a law of love in our heart. So we need to be doing that. We need to. That's the way the Lord sets it up. So when we step into that and we say, Lord, irregardless of what I think, what I feel, what's going on in my life, you get the first fruits and everything else comes after that. If we've been doing it differently, we have things turned upside down. Now the Lord wants to turn us upside down. It's the upside down kingdom. So in this season, as he's renewing our mind, you want that spirit of justice to rise and start screaming out. You want these things that we've been talking about to just take hold. And you want to see these promises manifest in your life. Really step into this, because it's part of the way of the operation of the kingdom. And we're learning the ways of the kingdom more and more and more. And many of you have stepped into this for years. But there are new folks, new families, and maybe even some mindsets that need to be renewed, even from some old folks. So let's step into that and do some spiritual readjusting in the area of finances and watch the kingdom roll in that area for all of us. Amen? All right. Well, the children are released to the kingdom classes, and we are ready for more.
Sounded like an amen. Father, we thank you, God. We've received so much already from time with you, from drawing in. Lord, no matter what the week was like this week, drawing in and being with you, just releasing the pressures, just releasing the joy, just releasing our hearts to you, looking above for a period of time, concentrated together, what it can do in us. We receive it all. We take it all in. We love how you touch us as even our spirits cry out more than our mouths sometimes, Lord. You touch us because our spirits are willing. They're ready. They can't wait to go forward. They can't wait to learn. They can't wait to worship. We want to release our spirits to fly, and you're so good to energize that by your Holy Spirit. We thank you. We pray that we wouldn't take anything for granted. Lord, you know that my voice is familiar to most people here. I pray they would hear you today, because it's easy to get used to my voice, my phrases, my way of expressing. But what is coming across from you is caught by the Spirit. And it's caught accurately. It's caught powerfully. I pray today that spirits would be so open, no quenching the Spirit, no hindering the Spirit in any way, Lord. Not putting a cap over it, a block over it, a basket over it, but just receiving wide open. I know by Holy Spirit you will remind us of the things Jesus taught us. You're faithful to do that. You're released, Holy Spirit, to speak to each person individually. Go deep. Go down where each person lives. Go deep in me. Go down where I really live. Change me, rearrange me, turn me upside down. Let me see things differently. Let me receive revelation that will change me deep, deep inside. Pray that for each one today. I pray that for each one every day. We would hear from you, that the screams of our own flesh, the enemy, and the world would grow dim. We would not be able to hear. That will all sound like chaos. But your peaceful voice of leading us to higher ground and greater things, to do greater things even than Jesus, because you promised it, to receive greater anointing. Father, we know you can bring us there if we're wide open. Thank you, Lord. Take us there. In Jesus' name, amen. Heavy prayer, fun message. It's a way to do it sometimes, you know. You have a light prayer, quick prayer, you know, standard prayer, heavy message. Sometimes it doesn't work out too well. So, heavy prayer, fun message. Yeah. That's what I'm expecting. Right, Lord? That's right. Okay. Woo. Okay. Who's the owner of the cattle on 1,000 hills? All those answers are right. Wow. Somebody said, I am. Not me, but they said they were. Someone said the Father is. God. All those things are rather true in the right context. Who gives an inheritance that's greater than we can contain? Father, God, Holy Spirit. Who's preparing a mansion for you in his big, big house? Father, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Did he promise us abundant life? These are supposed to be easy. So you can go ahead and shake your head. I'm not going to trick you. I try not to ask people directly a question they can't answer in front of others. Sometimes I might ask all of you a question you can't answer so that I can answer it and look good. But it's because I researched the answer before I ask you the question. It's not really fair. But I won't trick you. I'll at least let you know that's what's going on. But these are easy, okay? He has the mansions to give out. Have you ever thought, why in the world would he want to do that? For me. He has the cattle on 1,000 hills. Why does he even mention it? Why does he talk about it? Why didn't he just say, you know, I've got a lot of cattle? Why did he have to say 1,000 hills? Why did he have to go into details? It's probably more than 1,000 hills. That's probably symbolic. Why does he say we're supposed to have an abundant life? Wouldn't it be easier on God just to give us kind of a good life? Why abundant? Why couldn't he just say a good life? Then we would shoot low and he'd always be praised. Right? Because we wouldn't have any confusion about whether he was good or not. We'd always hit the target. We'd always get at least a good life. Better life than those unbelievers. But he shoots high. Very high in the scriptures. I was reading through, I thought, well, I'll research some good words like full in the Bible. Full. Do you know everything's full that he gives out? He never gives out something that's just like a little, you know, to somebody. He's got to do it full, overboard, outpouring, way beyond. Now, the receivers might not be too good at receiving it, but he always goes way over what he has to. Why couldn't he just feed the 5,000? The 4,000. Why the baskets left over at the end? And they weren't just baskets left over at the end. They were full baskets left over at the end. Why didn't he just have like a couple crumbs in one, you know, and a few in another and call it a day? Oh, well, you know, I didn't want to give them out the crumbs. I want them to have a full piece. But he gave out in fullness and he also had an overflow. He had more than enough. They could continue to pass it out if they wanted to. Go beyond that crowd of 5,000 and pass it out, right? This doesn't bother you? This bothers me. Why does he go overboard? Why is it always, when you look up the word full, it's everywhere. Full grace, full mercy, full life, full. Everything's full. Full, full. Is that for your body? That's a question. Is that for your body? Yes. Is that for your body? Yes. Is that for your soul? Yes. Is that for your spirit? Yes. Full, full, full. So it's a lifetime journey of figuring out the fullness of God, which is part of his goodness, or is all of his goodness, or more than his goodness. I don't know. You haven't thought of these things? You haven't considered these things? Fullness, fatness, beyond, beyond, beyond. He says, I don't want to leave you orphans. I'm the good shepherd, the great shepherd. Would he be a good shepherd if he's just giving you crumbs? Probably not. We wouldn't expect him to be a good shepherd. Great shepherd. Definitely not a great shepherd if you're just ending up with crumbs. Then why are so many believers questioning whether God is good or not? Come on. It's everywhere. Is he really good? Does he really have an abundant life for me? Well, he didn't answer this yet. He didn't answer that yet. But all through the Bible, it's full, abundant, prosperous. We're a little afraid of some of those things. Aren't we? Wow, if I was really prosperous, that'd make me more responsible. That was, you know, rich young ruler's problem, right? He was so prosperous, he was responsible for his wealth. And he thought he had it covered. I do this, 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 this. What other little matter should I take care of in order to enter the kingdom? What other little small thing you could come up with, Jesus, that I could do? How about you give away everything you have? You should have known that was coming. It's always fullness or everything. Give it all. I give it all to you. You give it all away. These big, expansive words. I'm just going to ask you a question. Do you live there? Is that where you live? In the big expanse of God's great abundance? Well, let's say we do it by faith. Because I said this wasn't going to be a heavy. Some of you are getting frowny already. This is a good thing. We do it by faith, or we don't do it at all. But when the faith weakens to receive the abundance of God, to see it actually happen in front of us in life, ministry, family, whatever, we have to contend and battle for it just like we do for worship. That was a hint what we talked about 2 weeks ago. We battle for worship. We battle for abundance. You might feel a little bit weird about doing that. But why would he fill an entire letter to us with full, abundant, prosperous, always, forever, all, over and over again? You can't even think, imagine what he's going to do for you. He said it. We don't have to go to him and say, oh God, please, for once in your cotton picking life, be generous, will ya? He's already promised it in everything. Well then, gosh, I had a loss here and this happened there, and what's that all about? I don't know. I'm asking you. But we should be able to enter into more of the prosperity, more of the fullness of joy. Do you know he says, hey, please ask. Would you ask for more? Come on. So that your joy can be full. John 16:24. Come on, would you just please ask? Come on. That your joy could be full? Do we need any more evidence that the Father, our Heavenly Father, wants us to actually be joyful? Wants us to ask him happy? He wants to make us so joyful, he tells us to ask so that we will be joyful. And he doesn't just say it once, you know, in case there was some kind of little glitch in the Greek. He says it over and over and over and over again. And I talk to people often that say, well, I didn't want to ask God for that because, you know, come on, I'm not worthy. This isn't about you being worthy. It's about him being so worthy, so generous, so amazing in the way he wants to prosper us that we can worship him when he's making us prosperous because we've got the right idea about that. It's not just for us. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. We know if he prospers us, it makes us responsible to think about, am I supposed to give that away? Am I supposed to keep it? Am I supposed to use it for the kingdom? How am I supposed to use it for the kingdom? What do I do with my house? What do I do with my car? What do I do with the money I have? What do I do with these things? Oh, can I, you know, give this to a person if they never return it back? Can I just say, glory to God? Hope they're getting a lot of use out of it. Can we take the things we have and let someone else use them, even though they're worth a lot of money? They might scratch it, break it. Ah! Or, you know, is it God? So he could give me a better one. What am I worried about? A scratched, beat up thing that somebody took and used. He could give me something back. Okay, what do you see up here? Not this. Don't think of this right now, okay? But I've got two glasses here. Let's just take the first glass. What do you see? Water, good. Good start. It is water, no tricks. Told you, no tricks. What do you see? Half full. Okay, what do you see on this one? Half full. Wait, we need some more answers. What? Oh, that's a very good idea. I thought you would stand. That was my, originally when I planned this out. Okay, I'm not, again, there's no trick here. I'm assuming that they, you know, are the same. Okay. And it's the same water, same glass. Okay. Don't get too analytical on this. Let's keep it simple. This one might have more bubbles, but don't worry about that. This is our water from the tap, I think, so I'm not too sure about these bubbles, what they are. Let's start over. We heard half full. Was there another answer? Wait. Raise a hand so I can. This, you know, I used to teach school. Come on. Yes? Half empty. They're clear. Okay. This one actually, you know, because it has the bigger top, you know, the volume would therefore make it half or something like that. I don't know. We're assuming that, you know, because of the bigger top, it's not two-thirds. Just point of information. You know that if we were to say, well, that's half full, most Christians go, oh, I got a better answer than that. It's half empty. I would suggest this, that when you add the blood of Jesus to either one of these glasses, this is what he really wants. That was fun. This is like science experiments in church. Woo! Since you can't see this, I'll describe it. It went over the sides, flowed into a towel that I hope is going to hold it from going onto the floor. But it went over the edges. Went over the edges. Too many times as believers, we've been saying, is it half full or is it half empty? I think half empty is better. Actually, it's overflowing is better. He could come in and fill in any half at any time. I need to learn that. Do you? I need to learn that in my life. Do you? Wow, because this is life. This is life. You come forward and you say, well, you know, my arm doesn't work. Last week it worked, this week it doesn't work. I say, well, is your arm half full? Is your arm half working? Well, it's kind of 50%, yeah. Well, just think of it as being half empty or something. Maybe that'll help. No, we need to have the Father come in and fill up that arm to overflowing, to completely heal that arm. That's where this thing about the thorn in the flesh came from. Oh, we found something in the Bible where God only did something part way. It wasn't full. Let's tell everybody, if you're not healed, it's God's fault. He gave you a thorn in the flesh, and his, you know, grace is sufficient. Haven't you heard that before? That's the flesh. That's the mind coming up with that. Your glass is half full and it's going to stay there because you're going to learn a good cotton picking lesson from it. You'll get some character out of this. You know, bad things happen to Christians. But I suggest we quit blaming God for it. It says Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. Well, maybe he's just talking about sin. Why take all those lashes for the pains in our life? It took lashes so it could destroy sickness. Let himself be put on a cross. Offered himself to be put on a cross to take care of our sin. Fullness. All of its fullness. So the thorn of the flesh has nothing to do with healing. It has to do with demonic types of things coming against a person. God's grace is sufficient. You can battle the enemy with just a drop or less of Jesus' blood. That's about timing. The thorn in the flesh is about timing. Paul prayed 3 times. It didn't go. He's like a lot of us. Oh, when's this thing going to go? When's it going to... You know, Paul's a pretty high guy in the spirit and so on. But he also had flesh and blood, just like us. Why do you think that's in there? It's to show us we're going to go through the same kind of thing. It might take a little while. Is that a problem? When you have an almighty God and you have sufficient grace taking care of everything, if something takes a little while, you have some demonic activity and you're battling against it and it takes longer than you want, but you're going to win in the end. You can battle with a smile on your face if you start to see full. He's full. He's full. He's complete. He's abundant. He's more than enough. He's always greater, always higher, always almighty. He never takes a rest. He doesn't sit somewhere on his bed going, well, I'm just going to take a break today. World can run itself, you know. That'll be fine. Everything will probably work out. Doesn't do that. For one thing, he doesn't have to rest. And he doesn't grow a long beard. Probably doesn't wear a white thing. I don't know. Let's get those pictures out of the way. So we need to look at an overflowing glass. I don't know about you. I'm going to keep doing illustrations until someone stops me. Well, not just today. I mean anytime. Here's one. This is a screen, right? As far as a screen, I should have taken the sales tag off. Okay, you got a screen, and you know that it blocks out certain things. Mosquitoes. It's a good thing, as long as you can fit it in the window. but let's not get too technical. So it blocks out mosquitoes, other insects that could hurt us, harm us, bother us, annoy us. It could block out big pieces of junk, bounce right up against there, right off. Stop some stuff from coming through. But I've had one of these before, various countries of the world, and it didn't stop those little nasty little gnats. Those buggers, I don't know if they can bend the bars of these, but they can get through. And they are bothersome. It doesn't keep them out. If there's some dust, it's going to come right through this. It might stop a little bit of it, and it'll get dusty, but a lot of it's going to come right through this, right? But this, on the other hand, for illustration's sake, this is a Holy Spirit filter, okay? So don't even think of what could come through here anyway. It'll mess up the whole illustration. This, on the other hand, filters everything out. It blocks everything. You know what I'm most concerned about? Lack. Lack. If that screen, you know, is just kind of your feeling that, yeah, God's pretty good. He's sort of good. And some stuff gets through that really bothers your life. You're down and you shouldn't be. You're upset and you shouldn't be. You can't figure it out. What's going on? It might start with this. You need a filter. To filter out lack. Lack. I am lacking something. I am a slacker. I am missing something. I don't have what I need. And who is supposed to give that to you? This all-abundant, all-gracious God. But we need to filter out the whole idea of lack. It should hit this out here, and it should look like this filter when it gets done. Lack should bounce up against here and be filtered out of our lives. We should never say some of these statements. Let me put this down so I can get to my statements if I can find them. I can't. I've never. I couldn't before. I didn't. I couldn't. I tried that once. I don't have enough. I used to. I could do that when I was younger. I'll be able to do that when I'm older. I don't have. I've never had. I won't have. I'm not. I wasn't. I never will be. And a host of others, of course. You could come up with your own list. If those come out of our mouth, and I confess, they have. What I'm saying is, I'm letting through lack into my life. I'm letting lack just kind of slime me. When it comes to healing, you watch other people go up front. They get a touch from God. They get on the microphone and say, I've been healed. And you go, I got something, but I'm not going to go up there. Why would he touch me? That person seems faithful to God. I'm not. Lack. 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 So we don't come for what's available. Are you with me? The abundance that's available. You're supposed to be smiling. The abundance that's available. We sometimes don't step out towards it. We say, oh, I'm open. I want to be just like Jesus. Some of you have stayed away from that statement. I know I did for years. Because it's scary. What if I actually said that? Then I'd have to do that. And I have lack in my life. I can't do that. So I won't say that because I can't do that. But you know from being here, if you have, for any period of time, we don't believe your strength's good enough anyway, or my strength's good enough anyway. It's when we're weak that we're strong. You know, I'm going to keep saying that till I die, so. Because it's the secret, one of the secrets to living an abundant life is just recognizing I'm not good enough, God, but you're making me good enough. I don't know how you're doing it, but you're putting such an overflow in my life, even though it seems as though the container has some flaws, has some holes, but you just keep filling it up. You just keep filling it up because I'm wanting you. I love you. That's the key. My heart's for you, God. It's not perfect, but it's after you. It's after you. It's after you. He loves that. And he'll keep filling imperfect containers. And you'll keep getting stronger and greater in the spirit than you ever dreamed. Because you're just willing to admit, I'm an imperfect container. I don't know why you're doing this, but I believe you are. I believe you're filling me up over and over and over again. These statements shouldn't be in my life. I can't, I won't, I don't get it. All these things. It's lack that needs to be filtered out. So the prosperity, so the great joy that he wants for us, the overcoming spirit inside of us rises up. It's a key to all of that. It's kind of like, you know, which pair of glasses am I going to wear? Which ones am I going to view the world with? Wow, sure looks a lot different. I see even lack in others, not just in me. Wait a second. There, now I can. But if I put these on, oh, wow. All of a sudden, everything looks different. Sure does. These aren't my prescription. Everything looks different. There's a whole different way of viewing life. Wow. And you know what? Most of us have a testimony of this. Because God just can't help splash it on you, can't help lavishing it on you. And you should be telling these testimonies because then you'll get an increase in that. When, you know, a pitching arm is healed. When malaria is healed out of someone. When things like that, we need to keep reminding ourselves of these things. Keep saying, wow, this ankle is working. Ha, huh, no surgery. How about that? That's the abundance. That's the overflow. If I would have had surgery, fine. Okay? God would have done something in there, and you know, with that. I'd still be walking, more than likely. But it's a whole lot better when I can step into something and something else releases beyond my wildest dreams. That I wouldn't have to have surgery on an ankle with 3 bones broken. Wow. When they're saying that's always the case, everybody gets surgery, emergency room, everybody, get to the doctor, everybody, unless you're too old, and he made sure he said, and you're not. But I was the exception. I don't get it. How'd that happen? All I can say is his abundance, his grace. His mercy is far greater than we can receive. Let's contend to receive rather than complain about what's not there yet. What if, you know, just a couple of moments from the time that we complain, God was like, got this big gift all wrapped up for us and so on. He's about ready to give it to us. Just 2 minutes. Just 2 minutes. And I'm going, man, God never gives me nothing. In this area, it just never breaks through. No breakthrough. No nothing. And I need prayer again. And You know how long it took the children of Israel to make an 11-day trip? I guess it is. Some say 10, some say 2 weeks. Anyway, it's a very short trip that they had to make. 40 years. What was their main problem? Complain, 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 complain. As food is dropping out of the sky, as their shoes and clothes are not wearing out, as God shows up in a tent, and people go in there and they come out with shining faces and up on the mountain and all this stuff, and they're going, let's build an idol. In the middle of all that abundance in the desert, water coming out of a rock. Do you know it's actually train loads of food every day? This isn't a small group of people. It took train loads of food. Can you imagine how many long distance flights those birds had to make to fall on the ground? All those bread makers in heaven, you know, this is taking a long time, all this kneading here. Get that manna down there for them. I'm telling you, it's train loads. Do the math. You know, they have different estimates as to how many millions of people were out there. But you do the math, you'll find out it takes a lot to feed them. More than a couple of Burger Kings. And it's better than Burger King. It would, you know, who wants a restaurant out there when it's fallen from the sky and it's good? Whew. So which glasses do you have on today? Which glasses are you going to have on? Because I'm telling you, everything looks different with the right pair of glasses. With the wrong pair of glasses, it looks different. Do you know that false doctrine comes from lack? It comes from lack. Believing God's not big enough, or that he doesn't want to, or he's not good, he's sort of good. So you end up with weird, false doctrines, false beliefs over not filtering out the lack, the unbelief, the poverty. Believing, in many cases, well, God just, you know, he just wants me to stay this way. Whatever my condition is, I should be content. Yes, you should be content in whatever condition you are. If you're abasing or abounding, that means if you got lots of dough or you had little dough. I guess it's the other way around. Little dough or lots of dough. Abasing, abounding. At the moment. But you should be contending for having prosperity so you can build the kingdom. Build the kingdom. Not just feed yourself and have fun for yourself and build your own little mansion and ride around the Rolls Royce. But the things he gives us, being willing to use those. And some of you are feeling a bit too guilty about that. You really are. Gosh, I spent $5 last week. I shouldn't have. I should have spent it for the Lord. I should have given it to the Lord. Maybe. Maybe that's true. Father, forgive me. Oh, I got a new revelation. I haven't even been paying my tithe. Oh, I see. There's no wonder I didn't give the $5. I didn't even pay the basic. New revelation. You know that was worth $5 to God? That was worth $5 to God to miss out on $5 to let you know you're robbing him. That's worth it, isn't it? For God, don't you think? To help you out? He doesn't need the money. He knows it's best for you to obey. For me to obey. It's a good thing. I know. I'll use what I have that I should be given a tithe. I'll give it to the mission trip I'm going to take. Oh, it's all God. You know, it's all front line. It's all, it works out somewhere. I couldn't do both. lack. That's false doctrine. That's lack. It's just lack. You can do both. Contend for both. It's supposed to be a happy thing. Happy thing. If you don't have lack filtered out, you could end up with a lot of unbelief. Right? Isn't that true? You're not going to believe God for anything major. You might believe him for some small things, but, you know, he can't really use me to touch the nations. He can't really use me to teach the people. He can't really work in my life that I become financially prosperous, that I can fund the kingdom. Really? Some of the wittiest inventions have come from the most unlikely characters. You know these sticky notes that you use? They're a mistake. Guy made a mistake. He made too weak a glue. The glue was worthless because it wouldn't stick anything permanently. Who needs a glue like that? It's right in front of us. A witty invention out of a mistake. How many things did Thomas Edison go through until he got one of those light bulbs to burn for a while? Well, one would burn for 3 seconds and then burn up. Little filament. What will work? What will work? He was a genius. And it took him failure after 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 failure. And he finally hit the one that worked. And now I can see you in here. It's awesome. Failure is just another route to get to success. Well, my life's a failure. Really? Are you dead? And going away to a place far from God? Now that's a failure. But if you're not dead yet, anything can turn around. Well, I haven't gotten to my destiny yet. I'm getting older and I'm not there yet. So ask him to fly on wings of eagles, become younger, go out there and play volleyball, miss it a few times, make a few jokes. People accept you. Do the things that everybody else your age is not doing. Because they're in lack. Well, I'm too old. As soon as you say that, I'm too old. Don't let that come out. I'm too young. Don't let that come out. Too young. No. These are general principles. I don't want you driving a car at 14. Okay. That's not good for anybody, whether they're in lack or they're in abundance. When I was in the schools, I remember, I don't know how, but somehow it came through self-esteem. Everyone needs self-esteem. You've got to have self-esteem. You've got to give your students self-esteem. You've got to pile it on them. You've got to splash it on them. You've got to shower them with it. You have to do everything that you do should give your students self-esteem. Every negative statement you make to a student, you have to follow it up with, I don't know, 7, 8, 50, whatever it was, statements to turn that one negative statement around. It's all good. But what did it come from? It's the world's answer to lack of God esteem. We'll just throw some good things at them. You get a blue ribbon, 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 you get a blue ribbon. They're going to feel better about themselves. And then they'll go out in life and say,
I deserve a blue ribbon and I'm going to go for it. No, actually they go out in life and say, I deserve a blue ribbon. Where is it? And people go, did you ever think about W-O-R-K? I'll give you a blue ribbon. I might even give you a paycheck if you do some W-O-R-K. But when you've got God esteem, he's your employer. You want to work for him. You might have a boss in front of you, but you know God is your employer. You say, does it matter? It's all ministry. Even my job, it's ministry. Everything I do, it's ministry. Because he's my real employer. He's the one I'm really trying to live for and work for and let him provide my needs through that. But he might come to you and say, you know, there's something better. I've got an idea for you, or an investment, or follow these steps for a while, but then I'm going to take you into something higher than that. You might not have to always work 8 hours a day. 50, 60 hours a week. But I don't have the skill to do anything else. Really? Who gives you the skills? So what was the world's idea? Let's train people. Training centers. Train them in skills, and they'll go out and get a better job. It's okay. It's a natural idea, right? Makes sense. Train the people who don't have skills so they can go out and get a better job. It works if the person really, you know, puts it out there and does that, yeah. But you know what's even better? Go to godsskills.com. No, God's Skills Program. He can fill you with new things. I have testified about this to you about my own life. I'm getting older. I'm supposed to quit on getting more skills. I'm enjoying getting more skills now than any other time in my life. I'm developing. I'm changing. I'm going higher than ever. I didn't used to play electric guitar. Couldn't figure it out. Couldn't hear it. I didn't used to harmonize. Couldn't hear it. Couldn't hear it. I was trained in a special school to hear it. Couldn't hear it. I had to see that music on the paper and follow those notes. I was just glad I could do that. But then I went to God's Skills Program. Whoa, everything changed. Now I am wailing and enjoying that guitar, hearing it, hitting notes that I'm not even able to, and missing some too. And feeling free with it. I can hear things in harmony and sing it where I left that to other people. Used to say, they can hear it, let them sing harmony, I'll sing the melody and it'll be great. We'll do it together. Lord said, no, you need to learn that too. You need to be an example of me pouring into you. A few years ago, I went to a conference. The Lord got a hold of me. I was up in front, came up for some prayer for a different reason. I started shaking and baking, and some of you remember my testimony about that. I was doing things. Everybody else was seated. Of course. And he says, you're not going to go down. For a while, at least. So I'm like, ooh, and boy, some of it just felt like it's the right thing to do. And I'm up there, and he's going, you're going to have more lack taken out of your life. I'm like, what's wrong with my life? This was pretty good right now. I'm not complaining, God. It's abundance. I think I'm in abundance right now. You will have lack, more lack taken out of your life. You will have more rejection healed in your life. Whew.
I thought I was doing pretty good. I mean, I'm bolder than when I was in my teens, 20s, 30s, 40s. I don't care that much about what people think. You know, what do you mean rejection? I will take more rejection out of your life. Okay. You know what? For the last 2 years, he's been challenging me at every turn about these things. It wasn't just like he went, I have to put up the filter and not let lack come in, rejection come in to my thoughts, my words, into my life. And let him filter it out. Let him filter it out. Let him filter it out, because it holds us back. It holds us back from the abundance. It holds us back from the prosperity that he wants us to have, the splash on other people. Now, if you're just going to go out and get some prosperity for yourself, this is not what I'm talking about. If you're in a community of believers, or you want to be, whether it's here or somewhere else, and you want to give as well as receive within that community, and you want to see God bless your life so you can touch more people, that's the right heart. And it works. It works. It's awesome. One of the things that needs to be filtered out, and you've never heard of this here before. This is a brand new thought. Brand new. Never heard it. I know it's revelation. But I'm telling you, these two, they like to marry each other. Whether you say lack or you say fear, they love to be married to one another. And they keep you from everything that God wants to lavish on you. I challenge you to just read through one chapter in the New Testament. Take John 14, for instance. The kinds of things that are promised to you in one chapter. Abundant things in just one chapter. You all thinking, John 14, what do I know about John 14? It's amazing. Read it with eyes of abundance. You will see that chapter in a whole different way, I'm telling you. And the reason I'm saying that is because I'm in the process. I'm not saying I'm there. I'm challenging all of us today to step into it more and more and more. But these two, they love each other. They sing to each other. That's a very negative song. Most people, they say, I don't know how you come up with a percentage on this. Rachel's going to explain it to me sometime. People have about 80% negative thoughts. How do you come up with a percentage like that? I was thinking it was more like 81. 80%, you are fighting a battle, 80% of negative thoughts. And the Lord says you can win it. Why does he say that? Because he battled a big, huge army with Gideon's army, you know, carved it down to practically nothing, and then sent them down the hill with a light, a horn, things like that to fight with. And they win the battle. He's not concerned that the normal person in the flesh has 80% negative thoughts about themselves and maybe life in general, because he can overwhelm it with the 20% or less of the positive things that you think about. What if you started filling that 20% with abundant thoughts? God loves me. He cares for me. He just can't wait to be around me. Wow, that changes me right there. I want to be more like him. I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to sin. And so on. Whatever is good, How's it go? Whatever is good, lovely, true, good report. How are you going to have a good report if you're going around saying, you know, I didn't get that job, oh, I didn't do this, and that didn't happen, and this didn't go right, and I don't know, you know. Good report is, you know, I didn't get that job. Who needs it? I got that way when I was looking for a job. It was like, if I don't get that job, I don't need it. My father knows what job I need. You just missed out on a wonderful employee. I don't know how you missed it, but you did. And I know there's going to be another one out there. You know, jobs are dime a dozen. I don't know if you noticed. The world says, no, they're not. They are in God's kingdom. They're a dime a dozen. I mean, you could get four jobs in 1 week, and you're like, Father, please, please, stop it. That's too many. There's a guy that we know of in Indonesia right now. He wants to be out in the villages preaching. That's his heart. That's his desire. So God gave him some people from those villages to train. And he keeps going up the corporate ladder. And he doesn't want to. Every time somebody comes against him, he's not from Indonesia, he's from the States. So they're, you know, some Muslim country. So anyway, you know, so they're going to come after him anyway. And so they go after him in the corporate world. He loses a position, and the one that, you know, put him down in that lower position and so on is exceeded by someone he knows, this guy we're talking about knows, goes over the top of this guy and hires the guy over him. Hires him to be with him over the guy that lowered him. It's happened like two or three times. He just, the favor is just flowing. He can't, I mean, it's like, just let me go to the villages. And God goes, no, you stay here in this position. I got things for you. No, let me go to the villages. I love them. You're going to the villages. But you're training people for the villages. This is where I want you. And he's like, Father probably doesn't even love me because I don't go to the villages. Lack starts to come in this situation. He should be celebrating. He should be dancing. And lack comes to his thoughts. You and me, we'd be dancing. But, you know, he wants to go to the villages so bad. So now, gets a phone call from a company that wants to come into Indonesia. Major, major company in Asia as well as the States. And he gets a prophecy before they call him that you're going to have something to do with the security of Indonesia. He gets a call from this company. The company is going to have something to do with the security of Indonesia. Major, big time. Systems in aircraft, so on. Big time. And this guy will be the head of the whole country. And he goes, I don't know if I should take it if it's offered to me. I think they want me. They keep putting me through interviews. And his wife says, yes. And she has a heart for the villages too. She sees the favor. So he's in the interview process. We'll see what God does. But he's starting to understand the Father loves him even though he would rather be in the villages. And God is raising him up as a head in the country. A fired up, radical Christian in a Muslim country that will be over security in a big way for the country. Meet the heads of state and so on because it's such a position of honor. I believe he's going to get rid of the lack. The filter is going to go, and we were able to pray for him. What a joy to pray into that for him and pray some of that lack off of him, that feeling that Father doesn't love him. And he wrote an email just a week or so ago and said, you know, I really believe Father loves me. That's the start. God is so good. That is the start of accepting this position he doesn't even want. How did he get to Indonesia in the first place? He's working on pipes in Florida. He doesn't feel like he has international abilities, you know, go to another country and do this big thing and that big thing. His company finds him and says, will you please come to Indonesia for an interview? What? How did you find me? I'm doing little pipe projects in Florida. I know how he got found. The same way you're going to get found. When he has something for you to do, if you don't have that lack in front of you that blocks you from seeing it. That's what I want for you. I want you to get what you're supposed to get. Because that's how you'll make your destiny. That's how you get to your destiny. Getting lack out of the way. Putting on the glasses of abundance, realizing how good your Father really is. How amazing his plan is for you. And never giving up on that, contending for that, no matter what happens, no matter how many hits you take. Because you're going to take some hits. He promises that too. Interesting, you know, he says to the guy that's going to help Paul get rid of his blindness, he says he's going to suffer a lot for my name. Now, how do you take that? Wow. You could take it a couple ways, right? If you're in lack, you say, wow, God's not very nice. He's pretty mean. Going to beat up on Paul. Is that fair? Well, at least he's going to take his blindness away. But, man, suffering. If you're in abundance, you say, wow, God's not going to throw that suffering at him. He's letting him know ahead of time it's coming. Get ready. You're going to need a lot of the abundance to face all this suffering. It's not from my hand that I'm throwing it at you like a fireball. It's from the enemy. It's from the ones that want to hit you and take you out, but they won't until the time. I'm going to hold your life together until your mission is over, and then you're going to come and be with me. There's two different ways of looking at that. And I want to increasingly, and I'm appealing to you increasingly, to look at things like some of the testimonies this morning with the abundance in mind of God, the goodness of God. And there are plenty of things we don't understand. Plenty. But we do know he is totally good. Fully good. Always good. Always looking out for you. Wants to rescue you. Wants to lift you up. Values you. Some of us have been saying, well, this happened in my life. I must have done something terribly wrong to offend God. And you've had a heart for him. You're walking in his truth. You're learning. You're growing. This thing must have happened because I did something major. Jesus preempted that one time when there was a tower that fell on a lot of righteous people, Tower of Siloam. And he basically said, bottom line, wasn't their fault. Am I right on that? Wasn't their fault. Didn't really explain what was going on there, I don't think. But he basically said, wasn't their fault. A disaster wasn't their fault. Do I understand that? No. Do I understand the mind of God? No. You don't have to. Just jump, celebrate, believe that he's so good, it's going to overwhelm you. He's going to chase you down and flow all over you. If you're, you know, in love with him and you're wanting to be faithful to him and continue to take instruction and continue to get revelation and so on, you can't lose.
You can't lose. Well, the enemy could take me out. I could die. Think again. Did you lose if you die? No. You still won. That's a win-win. You could go out there and just serve Jesus with your whole heart. People think you're a fool. So, you're going to a place where you're going to just worship and enjoy and have abundance even more so than what we can have here. I think we need to bring a little bit of that down right now. It's possible. Didn't he say bring heaven to earth? So let's bring some of that down right now. Someone just a week or so ago said that I should be giving out 9 hugs a day. They said that she's giving out 9 hugs a day and she's working at it. And I need to give out 9 hugs a day. So she gave me 2 to start. It's at the post office in the parking lot. It wasn't a church. I thought, wow, it's quite a system. Think about it. People are in such need, such lack, that they need 9 hugs a day. And she's, in Jesus' name, wanting to do that. She that's her ministry, I guess, or part of it. Giving out 9 hugs a day. Now, some of you didn't know which way I was going to go with that. I'm looking at it as a positive. Why? Because so many people are in lack. We need some kind of touch. And if it comes from God through a person that says, you know, that's how I'm going to love on people. That sounds too simple, doesn't it? But there's hugs that have changed lives. I know a few hugs from the Father that have been given to people in this group that have changed your life. It didn't take some big sermon or some big doctrine you learned. You need a touch from him, and you stepped into it instead of away from it. It changed everything. The lack started to leave. I'm saying let it go. Let it keep on going down the road. It's not helped you at all. It's not helped me at all to step into any kind of lack. And that means as far as personally or as this ministry is concerned. We're contending for some things in this ministry that are way over our head in finances. So what? That's the way it should be. We're shooting way too low if we stay within budget. I said we're shooting way too low if we stay within budget. You know, you're never going to get a mansion unless you believe you deserve one. In heaven or on earth. Well, I don't deserve a mansion, so, you know, I'm just going to get me this and that'll do forever. Any reason you don't want to shoot high? I mean, you do in the kingdom. I mean, spiritual things. You say, oh, yeah, Father's got a mansion to give me up there. Isn't that great? Hey, whoa, that's wonderful. And someone says, well, he might have a mansion to give you here on earth. Oh, no. No, not me. What if he thought you were the one that could use the mansion for his glory? Now, maybe you don't want a mansion. That's okay. Maybe something else. But you want to use it for his glory. You want to allow him to build his kingdom through something that he supplies to you or just as a testimony. What if he wanted to supply you with something and it was such a testimony it just lived on and on and on and on and on? I've got a house story I could tell you. I can't claim anything on that story. It was dead in the water a couple of different times. God resurrected it. And he knew it would be used for the start of this ministry. I didn't know that. I was happy with a house to remodel for 5 kids. You know, we've been in the home. We've purchased at auction since 1994, and we're just starting to do any remodeling, and it's for the grandkids that weren't even in existence when that house was purchased. But all kinds of people have come there from around the world. It's like, and I was going to turn that down and just go for a regular kind of, you know, house just to fit them in. For heaven's sakes, we even had someone from a very hot state live there for a while. And she's turned out just lovely. And I told their family last week, a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, I've decided that I will adopt one of their children into my family and make them a Gokie. That night they offered 2. But that was just because, you know, oh, that was abundance. Just that night, though. It didn't last very long. Oh, so I think you should testify to somebody else about something that God has given you in abundance, because it's going to do a lot for you and a lot for somebody else. And I know he's done that. He has done that for you. So, you know, the testimonies this morning kind of got us rolling towards that. You know, there's a new desire to just see how gooder God is. He's gooder than we thought, and he keeps on getting gooder. So why not revel in that, despite all our questions, despite all our apprehensions at times? Get rid of the fear that says, well, yeah, I'm a king's kid, but I don't want to live like one because I don't deserve it. I might mess somebody up. Somebody might think something, you know. If you drive a different kind of car and you were driving there for a while, you know, oh, woo. Somebody's going to think something. Well, you better hear the stories, because there's many testimonies in here of people getting turnarounds and breakthroughs. We have some challenges as well. We want to contend for an abundant result on those things, whether they be people with physical needs, you know, or whatever it happens to be, financial needs, whatever. We want to go after those things. We want to contend for his abundance. We want to figure out what Holy Spirit is saying. We don't want to just sit on the principles. We want to open ourselves up to his presence. And the presence will make the principles look different, I'll tell you. They will look much more like a wide open field to feast in rather than a tightrope to walk on. So, how many want to go with me on the journey? Wow. I should be hearing some good things. I should be hearing some good things. Are you writing those hands down? Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you honor and glory, Lord. We know we need you in your abundance. We don't just need a little tiny God we can put in our back pocket. We need a big God to take on the challenges of building your kingdom. Lord, we don't just want to stay here in this little house. We want to go out to the cities. We want, in this area, we want to go out to the streets. We want to go into the neighborhoods. We want to go into the families. And we want to go overseas. Continue to go overseas, Lord, to bring your kingdom, to extend your kingdom, to expand your kingdom, to accelerate your kingdom. And Father, we can't be in lack and give out of lack. We have to be in abundance in that flow and give out of abundance. You're in abundance and you don't apologize. And when you make something, when you create something, it's always with abundance. You make streets of gold. Why not make them out of plastic? Save yourself some money. Lord, you make gates, you can't help but make them out of pearl. You make your creation here on earth, and you give us so many birds, we haven't even discovered them all yet. So many fish, so much sea life, we have to find new ones and give them names. Adam didn't get to it. Something happened. Lord, you have such an abundance. You show us everywhere. And in Romans 1, you just keep saying, look, look. Just look at what I've created. You can see what I'm like. I'm abundant. I like variety. I like lots of stuff and lots of different things. Lord, thank you, Lord, for your lessons. I pray we receive it with the right heart, not just a selfishness within us that says, yeah, it's about time. But Lord, with a kingdom heart that says, wow, this means I can touch more people. I can influence more people. Continue to give us the right heart as we see you change so much of what we see right now. Because we don't want to speak lack. We don't want to live lack. We don't want to have an attitude of lack. We want to glorify you for who you are, a generous, prosperous Father that just can't wait to give us good gifts and change our hearts. The goodness of the Lord brings repentance. The goodness of the Lord brings repentance. The goodness of the Lord should bring repentance in our hearts. We haven't seen you as good enough. We've not allowed you to be as good as you are. We want to do that now, Lord. We repent. We repent. We repent. You are so good. You are so abundantly good. Everywhere we look in the Bible, there's abundance when people responded to you rightly. When they responded wrongly, there ends up being lack, even if they started with something glorious. Father, teach us the lesson of Nebuchadnezzar that built a whole bunch of stuff, gave himself the credit, and ended up eating grass until he got the revelation that you're the builder, you're the creator. We can co-create with you, we can co-invent with you, but we can't be the only one. We love that. We want to partner with you, Lord. We give you all the praise, and we know that you've looked on the hearts of the people, not just the hands that were raised, and you say, that's a girl, that's a guy, that's my children. Those are the ones I want to use to take the nations, because it's going to take an attitude of abundance of prosperity to reach the nations, not one of lack. Thank you, Lord. Show them how proud you are of them. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, Lord.